Meet Moop, hello.
Hello.
How are you, my friend?
Good. I'm getting on the old stationary bike.
Ooh, do a little Peloton pedaling.
Just a little low-key, no sweat pedal zone.
This is maybe a stupid question, but you can just use the stationary bike. You don't have to be currently enrolled in a class where somebody's telling you to do pedals, right?
Right. So what I do, I click more. I click the more button, and then it says either just ride or scenic ride.
You got like a freestyle mode?
Yeah. So, oh man, the scenic rides are bad.
Now, does a scenic ride show you a little video on the screen of like pretending you're going through like the French countryside or whatever?
Yeah, let's do the 15-minute Redwood State Park scenic ride. Let's just hit start on that. And here we go.
Nice and casual.
Starts with the nice big Peloton logo for an extended amount of time. That is no nature.
Love branding.
Oh, there it is. Oh, wow. I'm on a dirt trail in the middle of a meadow.
Do they have like a rumble, like a vibration in the bike to like to signify going over like rough terrain?
I wish. People would misuse that.
I was about to say, I guess that would probably be abused for different reasons. Yeah. Our most popular trip is this high-speed run down the side of a jagged rock mountain. I wonder why.
Just like 40-plus-year-old ladies sitting with a glass of wine.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my ride. Don't come in here.
Yeah. I'm exercising. It's very important that you kids stay out of the exercise room.
This is funny. We have fun.
We do have fun. It's true. After all these years, Linda, we still have fun.
We do.
We still got it.
Andy, you took the week off.
I am taking the week off currently as we speak.
That's fun. What for? Just to get some work done around the house?
I was just burned out. I mean, I've been sitting at the same fucking desk for almost a year now, every day, and I'm just very, very burned out of it. And so I decided to take a week off, a little PTO. And my goal was no computer for the week. And so far, I have not done a super good job of that. And I'm mad.
Oh, no. Why? What have you been doing on your computer?
Well, I mentioned to you, I'm judging this competition thing for Mica. Which I'm not going to point any fingers. Let's just say I did not have a clear understanding of the time commitment when I said I would do it. And that ended up being an awful lot of staring at my computer yesterday and filling out surveys related to entries to this competition. Very involved. Yeah. Took a lot more time than I expected. So that was almost a normal ass work day sitting at my desk. Almost. I took a break in the middle to go to IKEA. But that didn't really feel like such a break. And then today I have been just pottering around the house and getting some chores done, which I'm excited to do. Although I did have to have a meeting with a disgruntled client today because I handled the disgruntled ones. And so I had to do that anyway, even though it's my day off, my week off.
Yeah. Damn.
So sorry, bud. Not great so far, but I am installing a bunch of new shelves in our kitchen, which is going to be revelatory.
Yeah, so you're getting rid of the, like, pegboard thing.
No, that'll still be there. The shelves are all around the pegboard. Got like IKEA has a real nice, perfect product for us. It's like a little, like, shallow cabinet. It's only, like, 9.5 inches deep. And so this is a wall that could not fit a deep thing on it. This is honestly probably an inch or two deeper than I'd like it to be, but it still works.
Yeah.
So I'm installing that, which is a nice big, I love a big IKEA project. Nothing gives me more joy than doing a big IKEA project and getting a podcast going. Oof. Love that shit. I'm in my element there. Just power putter.
Yeah. So tell me, are you replacing cabinets that were there? Or is this like a blank wall that you are installing for the first time? New storage.
Brand new storage. Just adding on to the storage that we have in the kitchen. So this is an empty wall. Basically, we had the pot rack on. The pot rack will still be there. That pegboard with the pot rack on it. But then...
That's so great.
Shallow cabinetry all around it. And it's going to be a big game changer because we do a lot of cooking. We have a lot of kitchen shit. And very little pantry space. And so our like kitchen countertops are always covered in stuff, which is very frustrating as someone who likes the kitchen to be a working area. You mentioned on the show, I think a couple weeks ago, like, you know, I demand clean countertops in the kitchen. And I was like, I would love to be able to demand that shit. I want to be able to demand that.
Making it happen. I'm looking at my kitchen right now. It is not happening.
So yeah, I got a big list of chores for myself. And I am looking forward to doing the chores. I wish I wish I was able to actually get away from the computer a little more.
Yeah.
And I'm mad about that, but I'm glad to be talking to you, Linda. Though this is worth it. This does not count as computer time because I'm not looking at the computer. I'm just staring off into space.
Yeah, but it's only Tuesday, so maybe like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, be like, okay, but for real this time, no computers.
Yeah, that would be great. Friday, I do have another thing on the computer for this thing I didn't realize how much I was committing to doing when I agreed to do it.
The Micah thing?
Yeah. There's a finalist thing. They were like, oh yeah, the commitment is you fill out a couple of online, applications, you like review some online applications, and then you have like a day where you meet with some of the finalists and give them feedback over a Zoom. And I was like, sure, sounds great. Well, it was, 50 plus applications I had to fill out like a whole survey for. It ended up taking a long, 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 long time. And then it's the finalist's Zoom call is from 10:30 to 5 p.m.
Mm.
It's all day. All day, Linda.
That's a long time.
I mean, there's some breaks in there. There's some breaks for reasons. But tomorrow and Thursday, no computer. I'm telling you. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Wait, so from 5 to 10 on a Friday?
10 to 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's during the workday, basically.
It's even longer.
So it's a good thing I took the day off, I guess, because I had to do that.
That's a whole day.
Yeah, it's a whole ding dang day, Linda. It's true.
You're not getting paid. You're just an alumnus.
I think it's just volunteer. I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
But, I have clearly not understood very well what's going on. I think they're offering to give us a DoorDash lunch on Friday, which is very generous.
That's good. It's good for you to help the youths. So
I'm happy to do it. I have a lot of opinions about it. It's a investment fund, and they're trying to decide how to disperse this investment portfolio amongst entrepreneurial ideas. And I certainly have a lot of thoughts about that. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's my week off. I'm trying to get some more house stuff done, clean outside a little bit, do some planning on some longer-term projects. That's my life, Linda. How are you?
I remember signing up for one of these judgy things once where they were like, hey, do you want to do this? And I was like, sure. And I thought that what it was going to be was like, all right, there's going to be a day that you get some projects and you just look at them real quick and tell us which ones you like. And I was like, cool.
Little thumbs up, thumb down situation.
Yeah. No. That was not what happened. And I remember I was like traveling on the day that this stuff was due. I forget where I even was. I was like not in this country. And it suddenly dawned on me when I like opened the link for the judging thing that I had about 6 hours of work ahead of me. And I just like stayed up all night to do it.
Sounds like a very similar thing that happened to me, Linda. Basically exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh yeah, the deadline is, this time. I was like, I'll, pop on and I'll do this real quick over the weekend, just get it done. And then I was like, oh no. This is not quick at all.
Yeah.
This is quite involved. I still feel bad that I didn't give more time to each of the applications, but like there's 50 plus of them.
Yeah, and it's hard
to look at
like
business plans and pitch videos and everything. It was a lot.
Yeah, and for a lot of those things, and I'm like an awards judge too. And for a lot of them, it's like, you're not just judging like thumbs up, thumbs down. It's like for each of these categories, you have to be right. Very thoughtful about like how they're positioning themselves and how their messaging is.
And the categories are hard too. It's like, I don't know. The categories were worded in a way that I was like, this could go well one of many ways, depending on your interpretation of some of these words.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah.
Man. Sorry, bud. A lot of work.
It's fine. I love doing it. It's fine.
I love it. That's how you can tell with how high my voice is.
I am going out to the cabin this weekend, though, so that'll be nice.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah.
Wait, what is the cabin?
It's the cabin I helped build. My friends own it out in West Virginia, but it is
okay, cool.
The only cabin I go to if I'm referencing the cabin.
West Virginia, the cabin.
Right across the border into West Virginia, where it is about a gazillion times cheaper to buy 50 acres of land.
How long of a drive is that for you?
It is like 2.25 hours, maybe 2 hours. But the last like 30 minutes is only like maybe 10 miles. But it's all like bad unpaved roads that you can't drive fast on. So you got to like kind of squeak your way up the side of the mountain, basically.
Got it. I'm looking at a map because I didn't realize how close West Virginia and Maryland are, and of course they're touching.
They do touch. Yeah, if you look at Berkeley Springs is where the cabin is. It's outside of Berkeley Springs. So if you look west of Baltimore on 70, you can find Berkeley Springs, and that's where it is.
Fun.
If you want to go sometime after this whole fucking goddamn pandemic is over, you just let us know. You come on down to watch the cabin.
We would love that. Yeah, it's fun. That'd be great. Let's do it.
This is my first time. We're supposed to get a lot of snow, or a fair bit of snow. This is my first time being out there when it's snowing, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We don't get as much snow down here as like your upstate New York cabins, which get to languish in snow. We don't get that as much.
For some reason, and looking at my map, I see that I have a flag on Mockhorn Island State Wildlife Management Area.
Mockhorn Island. I don't know that name.
Why there, I wonder?
Let's see. Mockhorn Island in Virginia.
Why?
This is very far away from the other place we were talking about.
I know. But I just saw the flag out there and was like,
Eastern Shore, Virginia. I don't know. You ever been to Virginia?
Nope. I mean, I've driven through it a bunch, but...
That's a weird place to have a little marker.
I know. Why, Linda? Why?
Did you ever have a map on your wall when you were a kid with pins stuck in it for either places you wanted to go, places you had been, or any other reason?
Oh my gosh. I went to Guatemala when I was a kid because my parents did some missionary work down there. And I had a little map of, like, the U.S. and Guatemala, and like put little pins in the places in Guatemala that we went. And but it was more of like I made like a booklet. Like I got like a little folder system together and I had like pages for some Spanish words and of like the area. And I just collected like facts about Guatemala and how it was different.
Love to collect facts.
I don't remember what else was in the folder, but I remember being extremely proud of it. And that's the closest I've ever had to like the map with the pins. But one of the engineering coaches I work with, he just pointed out that he has a map behind him every day that has all the places that him and his wife have gone together. And I think that's very sweet.
I think it's cool too. For a little while there, I had a digital map where I had dropped pins for like basically every single thing of any meaning to me whatsoever that I kept track of. But I had a brief like quantified self Feltron phase where I was trying to feverishly document every little detail of my existence. And this map was part of that, but I don't even know what platform it was on or where it went. I haven't thought about it in like 15 years.
Yeah. Where'd it go?
Maybe 12 years. I'm not sure when
Andy
I made
facts.
It. Yeah. Maps are cool, though. I like them. I like to just look at them sometimes. Just zoom
Me
out.
Me too.
Zoom around. Think about places.
That's what I do. I like to look at all the little islands. You're like, ooh.
This Mockhorn is down by Chincoteague and Assateague. You ever been to Chincoteague or Assateague?
Have not.
These are these barrier islands on the border of Maryland and Virginia out on that peninsula. And they notoriously have a bunch of wild ponies and horses on them. And you can go and camp there if you want, and you just wake up among a bunch of ponies and horses just running around.
That's so cool. There's some islands in Georgia like that. Cumberland Island and what's the other one? St. Simon's. And yeah, wild horsies.
It's cool. Some of our friends have a big rager there every summer. So, which I'm not entirely in for. Sounds like it's mostly bug bites and sunburn, and you get to see some horses too.
Yeah, cool.
I think the whole thing is a national like wildlife refuge. I don't think you're allowed to do anything. Like, you can just camp there. There's no development of any kind, which is that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's how Cumberland Island was too. They like let a certain number of people onto the island every day, and there's no like real tourism there. It's just like an historic landmark you can visit and then leave.
If you had to draw a map from memory of the United States, how close would you get? Have you ever done that before?
Oh, I'm so bad at it. I mean, I think I'm not terrible. I think I would be in the, like, top. I'd get a passing grade.
You get a passing grade?
I'd get, like, a 75 or above.
Okay.
Like you said, like, I just was like, wait, West Virginia touches Maryland? Like, in my head, Maryland is, like, way far north of West Virginia.
What do you think's in between them?
I don't know.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, who knows?
I
It gets really muddled and messy.
we did this once in college. You know, it's a really fun party game just to sit down and try and draw all the states in the United States from memory. And I am very, very good at the entire East Coast. Like, not just can I do it, but I can do it pretty well to scale. And then the Midwest is like iffy. And then once you get to like the Southwest, like I just had too many states. I didn't know where anything touched. I just couldn't do anything. Like the New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, Arizona, Nevada, Wyoming region. I was like, I got nothing down here. Literally no clue.
Yeah.
Really, really went off the rails quick.
Mark is really good at those things, and it makes me feel bad about myself. Like, he's really good at all of the countries that I've never even heard of.
That is a that's definitely a thing that it's easy to feel guilty about. Like there's a whole country here and I don't even
Yeah.
know it or its name or
Right.
whether that word you just said is a city or a country or a province or whatever. Like I got nothing.
Yeah, you're like, I am a stupid American asshole.
But we all are, Linda. Except
Yeah,
for Mark, apparently, a very traveled, worldly man.
I think it's one of those things where if you find out that you're good at that sort of thing, it inspires you to do it more. Like, he has like games on his iPad that
Oh, well, that's
you can
cheating.
like, yeah.
You're not allowed to
But he,
gamify it. You have to be just naturally good at it.
yeah, like he is good at it, but then he also knows that and can then like flex the skill even more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do have like I'm very good at like visualizing and spatial things, which
Yeah.
helps me with maps. Like if I've looked at a map and thought about it for any amount of time for an area, like I can oftentimes navigate like a car without having to look at a map afterwards because I'm pretty good at translating. Like, yeah, I saw that map and now I know where I am on the map, which way I'm facing. Like that I can do.
That's good.
But I don't know much. Did I ever tell you about my math teacher in high school who I had a series of very good, interesting math teachers in high school, which was a blessing in my public school district. But this was my junior or senior year of high school, I want to say. Probably senior year, actually, because it was calculus or pre-calculus, so it would have been senior year. And this guy was a smart dude, and he had actually been moved. He was actually a history teacher. He preferred teaching history, but the district had some shortage in math teachers, and he also was qualified to teach pre-calc, and so they made him do that, and he kind of resented it. And he, on the very first day of class, began with a pop quiz, which, you know, classic Dick teacher move, just setting the tone that they're going to be a hard ass all year. But the pop quiz
Right.
was on the capitals of foreign countries. And the whole class was very confused. We're like, what are you, this is pre-calc. Why are you giving us this pop
Yeah.
quiz? And he's like, this is table stakes. Like, everyone, you should know this. Every single person in this country knows the capital of America. Like, why don't you know the capital of their country? And so, like, you know, the whole class failed. He did that every week or every day for like the first couple
Just to
months in
like
class.
prove a point.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was an entertaining guy and a smart guy. Like, I don't want to sound too dickish, and it barely counted towards any points of our actual grade, but he like basically put the fear of God in us and made everybody go home and like after they finished their pre-calc homework, they were starting to look up the capitals of, you know, African and, you know, West Asian countries that nobody knew and trying to, you know, get his next quiz. It was just five questions. He would give you five countries he had to give the capitals, and he just did it repeatedly.
Damn. I wonder why. Like, I wonder if there's something that proves that, or studies that have shown that if you're like exercising that part of your brain, that it'll like wake up your math part of your brain.
I highly doubt it was backed up by any kind of study. I think he just thought it was egregious that all of these seniors in high school in America like were completely oblivious to the rest of the world, and he was gonna
Right.
set us
I
straight.
get that.
And you know what? To this day, I
Yeah.
still don't know any of those capitals, so it didn't work, Mr. Whatever your name is, which I can't remember.
Yeah, I had a history teacher who did that with the presidents. He would just occasionally shout out three numbers, and you had to write down which president that was, which I was not good at.
Oh yeah, I can't do that at all.
Yeah. Nope.
You cheat at all when you were going to school growing up in grade school? You ever cheat on stuff?
Big time. Yeah.
Yeah, cheating's pretty prevalent. I only ask because one of the most memorable moments of cheating I had. I didn't cheat on much, but I did cheat on some things whenever the opportunity, whenever it was too easy. And we had in the class where we learned the state capitals, which was I think like sixth grade, it was definitely middle school. We learned the state capitals. That was part of like the things we were learning. And my teacher had one of those, like, you know, decorative banners they would put on the bulletin board, which you can, I'm sure, get at teacher supply store or whatever. And the decorative border was the states with all the capitals labeled. And so we, like, learned the state capitals for, like, 3 weeks, and we kept getting pop quizzes on it and stuff. And I just kept looking at the goddamn border. I still don't know any state capitals to this day because of that little border that was up there.
But I feel like that's one of those things that if, I don't know, like, they're that teacher, they're like, well, if they notice this and they use it, then, like, good for them.
I don't know. I mean, she had to have known because, I mean, we all were, I'm sure we're not that coy about not looking at the border around the thing in the room. I don't know.
But it reminds me of, like, those teachers who would put a sentence at the beginning of a test that the sentence would say, like, if you're reading this, don't answer questions 8, 18, or 22. And if you do, you fail.
Oh, I did that in a paper I wrote once because I was convinced my English teacher wasn't reading my papers.
Really? Yeah. You did it?
Yeah, in the middle of my, like, essay, I wrote, like, you know, Mrs. Whatever, if you're reading this, like, underline this sentence or put a mark on the page or something. And she didn't. Got it right past her.
Amazing.
Yeah. Which is, that's frankly rude of me. That's a lot of hubris there.
I would always get fucked on those things because I'm a skimmer.
What'd you cheat on, Linda? What were your main cheat avenues?
Well, here's the thing. I think that I am a smart person.
La-di-da, okay. I think so too, Linda. I think you're very smart.
Thanks. I had a little bit of a complex because when I was a kid, my mother kind of, in a not so nice way, let me know that something happened where they had to talk about whether to put me in, like, special classes. This was when I was really, really young. Like, I must have been in kindergarten or, like, first grade.
And they sent her home with a note that said, "This girl just keeps eating the paste. What do we do with her?"
No, I was very forgetful.
Interesting.
But I was genuinely forgetful. Like, I remember we had and this mainly had to do with my Bible classes, Andy. It's so bad. So in, like,
Linda, how could you forget that? That's the one, that's everything. That's how the whole world came to be. It's got all the rules for us right in there.
I know. And looking back, it's so messed up because they would say, so I had this, like, extracurricular thing called Awana, which was a Wednesday night church program for kids. And you had to, like, memorize Bible verses. And so every Wednesday night you had to show up with different Bible verses memorized. So you had to say them, and you would kind of, like, get in trouble if you didn't, or they would, like, talk to your parents or whatever. Or you would just, like, not get these.
We're,
like,
worried
stars.
That Linda's straying from the path.
And from such a young age, but there was also, like, a sports element of this and, like, an entertainment, like, singing thing. So I liked all the other stuff. Like, I liked being able to socialize and play. But
I went to church group every Wednesday night, too, for a big part of my childhood.
Yeah. But with the Bible verse stuff, I would always, like, I remember my mom being like, "Did you memorize your Bible verses?" And I was just like, "What?" Like,
oh, like, you forgot, like, to even do it. This wasn't even a, like, act of rebellion on your part.
Right. Like, I just would, I think, like, the concept of time didn't make sense to me yet, or, like, what do you mean? Like, I just remember feeling confused about why they were even asking me this. Or I would, like, start crying and being like, I'll try to remember, but, like, not knowing how to remember to do these things. And then, like, reading it over and over again, but then not remembering it. So that kind of, like, not really scarred me from a young age, but it gave me this idea that, like, I am bad at remembering things, which I think
and
is
you,
that,
you remember this from when you were in kindergarten or whatever, like, you remember this conversation and, like, feeling,
feeling, like, really hurt by it.
That's fine. I have no, like, I definitely can't say for sure I remember anything from kindergarten. Like, I feel like I remember being told the stories of things that I did or whatever in kindergarten, but I don't think I actually remember the thing.
Yeah.
I don't have an emotional memory of that time.
I have these really visual memories. And of course you're remembering a memory of your memory of your memory of your memory, but it's I can remember, like, where I was in my bedroom, what my bedroom looked like, what toys were on the floor when the conversation was happening.
Wild.
and that kind of stuff. So I can remember all that.
So you had like a chip on your shoulder going through school that you had to constantly prove that you were not forgetful.
No, it was not a chip on my shoulder. It was more like I had accepted defeat. Like I was like, oh yeah, I'm not good at this stuff. And so especially when it came to remembering like names of people, like I could remember the entire story about the president, and like what their whole life was like and what they did to gain office. But then like, what's their name and when, what year were they in office? I'd be like, duh. So those types of details would escape me a lot.
I have no recall for facts in isolation. Like, yeah. Basically none. I cannot learn things like that. It's impossible for me. And I as an adult still, you know, 32 years old, I still feel stupid because two of my coworkers are just the kinds of people that if they read a Wikipedia page once, they remember it. And yeah. It's so fucking infuriating. I feel like my brain doesn't even work because there are pages on Wikipedia that I've read the entire thing and then gotten to the end and been like, oh, I read this entire page like 6 months ago and I totally forgot that I did that until I got to the very end and then something stirred my memory and it's like I couldn't even remember reading this page because this piece of information does not exist in a way that it's connected to other deep information in my brain that it can actually cling on to anything. It just floats off into the floats off down the stream.
Right.
It's the same with movies, actually. Like I know I've watched movies that I could not tell you the first thing about. I have no recollection of it all because like if the movie doesn't really strike me, then it's just like I got nothing.
Right. I'd be like, I know that we watched it, but I have no idea what happened and I don't really care.
Like I can't even picture the setting or anything about it. Like the example I always give is this was more impressive, or I guess maybe the opposite of impressive when it was more recent, but in like freshman year of college, I went to Florida for a while over the summer to hang out with my friends who had his parents had a house in Florida, and we were down there. And we did this dumb thing where the latest Bourne Identity movie had just come out, or I guess the first one's Bourne Identity, the one in the Bourne series of movies. There's like Identity, mm-hmm. Supremacy. I don't remember what they all are, but the last one had come out, and it was showing in theaters. And they had the idea of like, oh, we're going to rewatch the first two Bourne movies, which we had all seen before. And then we're going to go see the third one in the theaters. And the reason this is memorable is because we were in this like rental property, or this property that is often rented out that didn't have any kind of like entertainment system. And so there was no sound or speakers we could plug the laptop into. So what we ended up doing was watching it in the car because you could plug the laptop into the car speakers. So we all sat in this like car in the parking lot of the movie theater for 5 hours or 4 hours or whatever, watching these two movies back to back, and then went and saw the third one. Linda, I cannot tell you anything about any of the Bourne movies. Not the first thing whatsoever. I don't know if it's like a dystopian future or an alternate reality. I don't know anything about the main character other than it's played by that guy. I got nothing about it.
Yep. Yeah, I like just watched the first episode of Legion last night. I don't know any of the characters' names. Like I cannot remember. Like I can remember what happened, but
that seems normal, though, I feel like.
Yeah, I just don't remember that shit.
But you're saying you still don't remember even after you watch Legion all the way through, and you're like, oh, this was a great TV series, I loved it, you still won't have committed the names really.
Yeah, I'll be like, what was that guy's name? Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I forget what got us there. Something about school. But,
Doesn't matter, Linda.
Oh, cheating! It's all the journey. Yeah, so I remember, like, writing stuff on my arm.
You did some classic OG cheating shit.
Oh yeah, and then like the Texas Instruments calculator,
right? The ones they didn't know had memory in. Yep.
Yeah, you could like store formulas in them, so that was really helpful. I cheated a lot, but I think that it was more. I think that I didn't have the right guidance through the school system.
I'm not blaming you, to be clear. I would definitely blame the schools before I blame you for cheating.
Oh yeah, I mean, looking back on it, I'm like, what would I have needed? Because I was definitely smart enough, and it's not like I was lazy, because like a lot of the time I put so much effort into cheating,
right?
That like
cheating
I was
in creative and ingenious ways that required a lot of work.
Yeah, and even if you think about it, like if you apply that to the working world, cheating is like still preparing in a way to like not do badly on something, unless you're just kind of like looking over someone's shoulder. That's lazy. I think I would Like, people would look over my shoulder and I would be like, hey, like, I took the time to write
to
every
cheat
single
this
thing on
properly.
My hand.
I love
like,
it.
Do it right. But yeah, I think looking back, I wish that there was somebody in my life or in my school or something who could see like what kind of brain I had and kind of help me figure out how to learn better. Cause
yeah,
there's definitely like a gap there.
There's a lot of stuff that I was ostensibly taught in high school that I wish I knew now, but I don't because I was not engaged in learning at all. I did not enjoy school until I got to college.
Yeah.
My main ways of cheating were I never cheated in math because math came pretty easily to me. I would never like I would write my papers. That was fine. I would never do that. I would occasionally copy homework for whatever class if I forgot something or ran out of time. My main things though were that I took Latin for 5 years and I like we had this instructor. So Latin was not a popular enough language to have a full-time Latin instructor at my high school. So
oh
there was
God.
This like woman who traveled around to all the different high schools in the district to teach her Latin class, which I mean, more power to her. That sounds awful, but it was, so I was with the same, there was like one Latin class and I was with the same students through this entire time and the same instructor year over year, like it wasn't a new person every year. And this lady was like, looking back in hindsight, I don't really know what her deal was, but she was like a total space cadet. And we would oftentimes like cheat out loud during the test while she was sitting at her desk. Like I'd be like, hey, Sean, my friend Sean and I used to cheat off each other all the time. I'd be like, hey, Sean, what's the answer to number 4? And he'd be like, C. And I'd be like, thanks, Sean. And she would go, hey, stop that. And I would go, oh, that was just a joke. And she'd be like, okay, well, no more jokes.
Oh my God.
And we would just do that.
God, being a teacher must be so fucking hard, though, especially if you're not grounded in one particular school. Like
right,
she,
like she had no, like, it was like she was had no home turf, right? It wasn't her permanent classroom. It was just like she kind of came in to do this thing. And like it felt like we owned the classroom because we were in the school all day. It was the same same class moving through every year with each other. And
it's just
yeah.
like poor substitute teachers, you know?
It did feel like an extended substitute teacher. I mean, it was a teacher we all had the most because no other teacher do you have every single year, right? Every other teacher gets shuffled out. So we saw her all the time and we got to know her pretty well. And we got to learn that like, yeah, she pays no attention. Like either she was a total space cadet for whatever reason, or she knew we were cheating the entire time and just couldn't give a shit. Those are the two options. But she appeared to care. Like, she tried to stop us, but just with the lightest possible touch, and she would never report anybody to anything under any circumstances. But
well, yeah, because she probably didn't have the relationships with the principal or assistant principals or whatever.
Right.
Like, if she was there all day in the same teacher's lounge or whatever, she probably would have, you know, felt like she had more support.
Yeah,
but
she
I
was
can imagine,
unmoored.
Yeah, I can imagine just being like, I just want a paycheck, and I kind of like Latin, and I kind of want to find those students who like really do care, and like I go to work for them. Like she probably had.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
a few
honestly,
students.
Like it's not like she was going to convince me to like Latin more, or like, so she didn't waste any energy on me or the other rascals in the class, and the people that really liked Latin got most of her attention. Like in some ways, it's for at least for a subject like Latin, which doesn't matter, you know. Like
yeah, it's like literally a dead language.
Right, but if you're letting kids, you know, slip through the cracks on essential, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm trying to rack my brain thinking of anything taught in high schools is actually fucking essential for anything. But you know, if you're letting kids slip through the cracks on essential stuff, that's maybe a problem. But yeah, for this course, I guess she was maybe just like, you don't need this. You can do whatever you want. I don't care. I'll give everybody a
yeah.
B. And except
like,
for these
does
students,
does that show
I
up
like
on the? Does it show up on standardized tests at all?
Well, so the reason I took Latin was because there's that saying that you know, if you learn Latin, it like really helps your understanding of a bunch of things in language, and you become like you
right.
know an uber brain that's really good on the SATs because of Latin reasons. And I don't
right.
know if that's actually true at all. I mean, but the thing about Latin is we had, so the class was structured the same way every single year, and it was always that, and we had a vocab quiz, I want to say every week, and it was like 25 words, 25 new words every week is what we were learning, and then we'd also do readings in class from, you know, the Iliad or whatever as we were going on. And for this vocab test, I never learned any of the vocab. I, like, never committed any of it to memory, and I would basically just cram the 10 minutes before the quiz. I would use my like spatial reasoning brain to try and remember, like, the shapes of the words and, like, you know, come up with little mnemonics and just, like, stare at this paper and, like, fold it in half and, like, try and, like, commit it all to memory just long enough to complete the quiz. And then, you know, as soon as the bell rang, I left that period, like, I had none of those words still in my brain. It was like I put them just in, like, temporary memory. And I got good grades on all my vocab exams because I would just... And those I wasn't actually cheating on, for the most part. I was actually just staring at this paper. I could picture it in my head because it was the same, you know, handout every week, and it had the Latin on the left and the English on the right. It's a two-column layout, 25 words, and just, you know, jam it.
So it was that, and then, like, a mental snapshot?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's like if I had a photographic memory, I'm sure this would be much easier. But I have, you know, I have a decent enough visual memory that I could just, like, stare at it really hard and focus on it, and then... It would be there for a little while. I'd have the little ghost image floating around.
Nice.
Anyway, that, and then I read basically notebooks in high school because of Spark Notes. Oops.
Oh, yeah. Oops. Yeah, that was the ultimate cheat.
There's nothing I loved more than teachers saying, like, because we had discussions about books in class, and everyone knew Spark Notes was a thing. This was, like, the ascendant time of Spark Notes. I don't know what it's like now. I mean, now there must be all kinds of new and ingenious ways to cheat, but, like, this was, like, the prevalent type of cheating, was people reading Spark Notes instead of reading the book. And I would oftentimes be in discussions in class, and then a teacher would be like, I can tell from the way Andy described that topic that he actually read the book and didn't read the Spark Notes. And I would just sit there just gloating so much to myself, like, that's right, I didn't read the book, and I tricked you anyway.
Well, that was what was so beautiful about Spark Notes, is they taught kids how to, like, take the essence out of something.
Right.
So, like, here's the lesson you need to get out of this book.
Mm-hmm. There was a very short time where I discovered that I could find a lot of my assigned reading on audiobooks on Kazaa, or maybe it was LimeWire.
Oh, yeah.
One of the two. And I don't know where these came from. Sometimes they were read by weird voice actors that didn't really make any sense. But, like, I have a distinct memory of listening to... Catcher in the Rye. I had an audiobook for Catcher in the Rye, and we were supposed to read that. So I did, like, experience that book through an audiobook, but I did it while I was playing video games. So I remember specifically I was listening to Catcher in the Rye while playing Grand Theft Auto Vice City and just, you know, crashing cars and murdering hookers and stuff while I was listening to Catcher in the Rye on an audiobook.
I remember that feeling like cheating. And so I don't think I ever did that. Spark Notes, I definitely did, but I was like, the audio, like, that felt like cheating to me. But now
that
that's how
more
I
more like cheating than the Spark Notes.
Yeah, but, like, because I think for some reason I got it in my head that it was like the physical act of reading words was what was important. And
oh, interesting.
Yeah, and
I mean, it makes sense. It has a logic to it.
Yeah, and I remember, like, the guilt of just listening to something would have destroyed me. But now that's how I consume all of my books. I play threes and I listen. Like, I need something to distract me, like you were doing with Grand Theft Auto. You got to fidget with something, and then...
Yeah, I have too much... I can't just focus on one thing, basically, ever. That's why I can't do most television shows. I get so bored. They're just talking to each other.
Yeah, why? Man, Mark keeps texting me about his farts.
Oh, like real time, like right now?
Yeah.
Are they pretty gnarly?
He said he ate some roasted garlic pizza, and apparently it leads to stinky farts.
Does he have like a lactose thing?
I think it's more the garlic that he's complaining about. I think he does have a lactose thing. I think he's one of those people who has a lactose thing, but will not admit that he has a lactose thing.
Which I'm led to believe is most people that don't have a lactose thing actually do and won't admit it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of not great for you.
I do love it, though.
Lactose-free milk. I've been doing that lately instead of oat and almond and all that stuff.
So it's regular milk, but de-lactosed? Is that like lactaid? Yeah. Is that what that is?
Yeah, but I've been getting Organic Valley. I think they've branded it really nicely.
Organic
Valley. Because they just call it, like, milk. And then it's, like, the dairy-free, though.
Right.
But I think that's where lactate went wrong. Like, it sounds like
medicine. It does sound like medicine, yeah. That's not a great name. You definitely should have called it Organic Valley. That's a much better name for something you want to drink.
Exactly. Oh, hi, Lenny. I got Lenny a bed with little walls on, little side walls, and he loves it.
Does it have, like, a roof, too? Like, is it a pod?
No, I'll send you a picture of him.
Hillary's wanted to get this pod bed for Sadie that keeps popping up on Instagram, I think. And
oh,
we're not sure if she would actually use it.
Well, Lenny loves his crate. He definitely chills in there all the time, but.
Sadie is crate neutral. She'll go in there sometimes. She won't go in there sometimes.
Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it. That's how she is about most things, actually. Most things. I gotta enunciate better.
Yeah, most thing. I've been getting more southern since this lockdown.
You think you have been out talking to enough New Yorkers to keep your southern accent at bay?
Yeah, for real though.
Interesting.
It's been coming out more. I complimented a stranger on their coat the other day, and they turned their head away from me and didn't say anything.
East
And
Coast
I was
emotional
like,
distance, you could be a predator.
yeah, and I was like, you know what, Linda? I think the South is coming out of me because I haven't been seeing the New Yorkers. Lenny, what are you doing? I gotta go. I'm gonna go have couples therapy with Mark now.
Hey, enjoy that.
Thank you.
Good for working on you and your relationship.
Thanks, bud.
You're great. Have a good
Have
time.
You're great. Bye,
Bye
buddy.
bye.